Welcome to episode 125 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live May 11, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In today's episode, Scott and Ben kick back on a Saturday afternoon and talk about some of the announcements from Build this past week and just the state of technology, Office 365, and Azure in general. So sit back and enjoy the show. It's Saturday afternoon and we're recording on a wonderful, I don't know what it's like in Seattle. It's like 85 and sunny here. I was out power washing my driveway. My kids were playing in the power washer while I was power washing.
It is crazy weather in Seattle. It's been beautiful here this week, but apparently it hasn't rained for 2 weeks. And today I am wearing board shorts and a t-shirt, and I'm going to go down to the waterfront or maybe go hop in a car and drive over to Rainier because I've never done that one. But it is absolutely beautiful here. It's what I think most of the companies that hire here start to refer to as recruiting weather. You know, like you get out of the rain and the muck and things like that, and it's safe to fly people in and say, oh, isn't this a wonderful place to live? Even though it's expensive, our weather is nice.
Yeah, until next week.
Yes. So, yeah, it's probably going to rain all next week. But I'm here next week too, so we'll see.
So are you making sure your kids are going to do something nice for your wife for Mother's Day, since you apparently are abandoning your family on Mother's Day?
Yeah, my kids did a very interesting thing this year. I'm sure you have small children. So have you ever seen Beauty and the Beast?
Yes. And I read that book to my daughter every single night.
You're a lucky man, Charlie Brown.
Something.
So candle in Beauty and the Beast, Lumiere.
Yes.
My wife is a big fan of Beauty and the Beast, and she'll absolutely sing along with it. And you know, whenever it's on the TV or we throw it up or whatever. So my kids, there was like a big neighborhood garage sale last week. And at one of those, they found an old like silver...
The candelabra? Or the mirror?
Well, they call it Lumiere.
Okay.
but they were going to take some silver polish and get it all cleaned up. So they went out and bought that stuff themselves. They bought the candelabra. They bought the polish and things like that. They were going to clean it up and buy my wife some candles. I'm sure she will enjoy it and it will be lovely. And let's just say I'm very glad that I'm not there when she receives it.
Perfect. Well, my parents are actually in town. They came down from Michigan. So speaking of weather, it was like 45, high of 45 yesterday when they left Michigan, and they came down to 80s, and then they melted.
Yeah, no thanks.
So my mother is in town for Mother's Day, so it should be fun. So other news, other than Mother's Day, we have another event coming up. Well, we have a few events coming up. One that I am participating in, there's the Microsoft Teams Virtual Summit coming up June 12 and 13. So this is two-day sessions all about Microsoft Teams, and it's put on by the Mark Jones, the Collab 365 guys. So they have that whole deal going. So we will throw a sign-up link for that in the show notes. But I think there's 10 or 12 speakers that they have lined up. I'm actually doing one on Teams governance that should be interesting.
Teams governance. What does one do for Teams governance?
What does one do for Teams governance? You come to my session on June 12 and 13, and by that time, I will actually have it figured out.
That is what Teams governance is.
Yes.
Excellent.
No, it'll be all about the whole sprawl thing. Do you control Teams? Do you not control Teams? Some of it may be, like, it's not going to be one of those hard and fast, this is what you absolutely have to do, but more a discussion about different options, the whole how groups are tied to Teams and how people can create teams, and I'll probably sprinkle in some stuff about, like, the policies. You now have Teams policies to help govern what people can or can't do within a channel, within a team. I'll probably sprinkle some of that stuff in, maybe some of the auditing stuff. So just kind of, I'm going to stick more high level. I'm not going to go into my sessions around automation and how you can set up provisioning and all of that. I think Nick Bertoli might be doing some of that, but mine is going to be a little bit more business level, high level. This is kind of what you want to think about, maybe some options you have, that type of a session. So a little bit different than some stuff I've done before where it tends to be a little more technical.
You know, the business level conversations are fun because they can always lead into technology, but there's a bunch of things you want to think about ahead of time. Or even if you've gone down that path, a bunch of things that you want to come back and think about later.
Exactly. And then the other event coming up is the SharePoint conference, which we will not be at.
Yeah, some people will be there. You can sign up, go see the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah. Who are they? We're going to get in trouble. It's no wonder they don't invite us back to the SharePoint conference. Have you ever heard of... So honestly, have you ever heard of the Gin Blossoms before they announced that? I have not.
Yes. You've never heard of the Gin Blossoms?
I have not. Apparently, I'm out of the music loop.
You should have heard of the Gin Blossoms. They're not exactly not famous. They might be exactly past...
What year were they famous?
The 90s and beyond.
Infinity and beyond? Got it. Yes.
Yeah.
You can go see that. That's coming up. We won't be there, and Build just wrapped up. So it's like event season. We're the middle of conference events, all that good stuff before summer hits.
Yeah. So yours, the Power App Summit, that's a virtual summit?
That is a virtual summit. So online, they have a couple different ways you can sign up for it too. So there's, I think they're going to do 5,000 free registrations. They've already had like almost 2,000 people register, or 3,000. I was looking at the website, now I lost it. But they have had quite a few people register. So you can register, you can show up, you can watch it for free. But then afterwards, they also do like an all-access pass, and we can put another link in the show notes for that, where for like $50, you can get a recording of all of these sessions after the conference. Afterwards, all of us that are presenting, or those of us that want to, there's a different few different ways they're going to do it, but either way, all those sessions will be written up as a big ebook too. So you can go for that $50. I think you get all the videos, and then you'll get the ebook after the fact once it's all written, with all the sessions written up in this massive ebook. So if you want an example, they still have some of the Power Apps stuff up too. So they did a Power Apps virtual summit, I think a month and a half, 2 months ago now, where you can actually go still buy all that for, I think it's the same thing, $50. You can get all the videos from that one. You can get the PDF. So we actually have a link to that one I can get in the show notes as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I was just wondering, I have one coming up. We've been doing a bunch of one-day Azure governance classes. So our next one is in Atlanta, Georgia, at the MTC in Alpharetta, May 21st. So if anyone's in the Atlanta area, or they want to come in for a day of free learning, I'll put a link in that there too. We feed everybody and talk all about Azure governance all day, and kind of get hands-on and build out environments and get into some of the things that we've talked about in this podcast, right? Like cost controls and policies and all that good kind of stuff.
Got it. Very cool. So look at you and I, we're just giving away all kinds of free stuff on this show.
That's what we're about, the freebies.
We're here for the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides, or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info. So, should we talk about some more news, dive into announcements? There was some stuff that came out before Build that we haven't had a chance to dive into, some stuff from Build. There's news galore, and I'm sure there's going to be more coming up with the SharePoint conference.
Yeah. And I think there was some interesting stuff. Most of the stuff that I thought was interesting around Build actually came out a little bit before it, or it wasn't talked about in keynotes or things like that. And it's more because I don't develop with HoloLens, right? There's not much skin in the game for me to have like better virtual meetings with HoloLens. Just not my space and what I do. Maybe playing Minecraft better would be a thing that I could get into, but they had some interesting infrastructure announcements. There was a ton on the dev stack, and there's actually been a bunch in Office 365 land as well, just between would they have a bunch of graph improvements, and then that general cadence of, hey, we need to get all the major, non-major things announced before we hit a SharePoint conference and ESPC and things like that.
Yeah, I've noticed that there was a bunch of stuff on the SharePoint roadmap that got pushed out kind of in the last couple of weeks leading up to Build, at Build, all the stuff that they said, hey, we're going to get this done. It's like, okay, SharePoint conference is coming up. We're going to talk about a bunch of new stuff. We need to wrap up all this old stuff before SharePoint conference. So there's been a lot of SharePoint stuff that I've seen too that's either been rolling out or deployed, or yeah, coming up to get all that wrapped up. And I didn't see a whole lot from Build either. There was one interesting announcement that it was kind of fun to watch. So do you remember, I think they did it at Ignite and the SharePoint conference where they showed like the whole virtual or the Teams meeting where they did have to have, it was it like a 3D mic, but it was the big cylindrical mic thing in the center of the room for the Teams meeting, and it started recognizing who was talking, doing the transcribing of it live, all of that.
Yes.
So at Build, did you see at Build when they did that? Only now they are saying that you won't need that big mic anymore. It'll take everybody's phone. So if you have your cell phone, you set it on the table. If you have your laptop, you open it on the table. It actually creates like a network of all the mics from phones, laptops, computers, whatever, and does the same thing. So it now uses your phone or your computer to capture the audio of everybody talking, recognize who's talking, do the live transcription. So you don't need, or you won't need, a device to actually do all of that now in your Teams meetings, or a standalone device. It can just be whatever device you show up to the meeting with.
Yeah, it makes for great demoware. And it's also interesting. I always like how they talk about how those systems are built out. So some of the things that they're doing with the transcription service and that, how they process the data inside of their own infrastructure and their own PaaS services. So as I recall, like that one, you know, they'd built out a bunch of microservices for doing the processing and returning of the data back to the clients all through AKS, Azure Kubernetes Service. And I'm sure they probably burst into like ACI and some other things. So it's fun to see how all that comes together.
Yeah, exactly. All the stuff that I think one of the coolest things about Office 365, and I've touched on this in some recent talks I've given too, is how much benefit you get from Azure by doing Office 365. While you aren't specifically buying Azure services, you may not be leveraging any Azure services, but all of that functionality that Microsoft can take advantage of under the covers in Office 365 to do things like the transcription for all the video stuff that they have going in Stream, even some of the AI stuff they're bringing into the desktop, Flow. I'm not going to talk about Power Apps right now. I have a love-hate relationship with Power Apps. We'll stick with Flow, Teams, all of that Office 365 functionality that you'll just never get on-prem because of all the Azure services and infrastructure they can take advantage of.
Yeah, I like having that conversation sometimes with folks who maybe they don't even realize how far they might be into a certain technology space. And especially when it comes to Azure, like when you talk to somebody who maybe does M365 or O365 workloads today, you say, well, if you're an M365 admin, you actually probably do know a little bit about Azure already. Like you deal with the identity plane, maybe you get into conditional access, you get into automated licensing and entitlements. And guess what? Now you understand a little bit about authentication and authorization and the difference between maybe OAuth and SAML and OpenID Connect. And what if you do rights management service? Like that's Azure rights management. You get into identity protection. Well, that all Azure identity protection, right? Privileged identity management, all part of Azure. So all those kinds of things tie in on the other side. And you can definitely kind of leverage some of your skills. Like maybe if you don't know about all those things, it's a great way to go over and learn some more about it, because Azure AD is kind of your onboarding point into all this other stuff that sits in the background out there.
Yeah, I've seen more and more of it, even the new Security Center. So I went on my rant a few episodes back about the whole Security Center, Compliance Center, breaking them out, all of that. But if you go look at the new Security Center now, they are even, some of the stuff that was standalone before, I feel like they're starting to get rid of and just surface up certain Azure functionality within the Security Center. So the one specifically I can think of is Cloud App Security. I can't remember which tab it's under in the Admin Center in Office 365, but now within that security tab, you're starting to see like dashboards from Azure show up as almost like an iframe, or they're just ripping that interface right out of Azure and surfacing it in Office 365 to bring up different auditing events, different app security policies, alerts, that type of stuff. So kind of like you said, more and more you're seeing that Azure stuff and you don't realize you're maybe working with Azure, with some of those other cloud services until you access them directly outside of that Office 365 bubble, more or less. Upskillity is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com.
Let me see if I can get you to go on a rant about security. Do you remember SecureScore?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So you know how SecureScore is kind of its own thing today? So it's got effectively like a dedicated like micro portal to go ahead and get at it. And you know, you see the data surfaced across all these different portals, but like you want to go interact with your SecureScore, you go to SecureScore.microsoft.com, right? And then you dive in and start doing, you know, your scoring and your compliance checks and things like that. Well, they've decided they don't like the micro portal, and that's okay, because it was kind of its one-off own kind of thing. But now that's been all integrated into the Consolidated Security Center as well. So what's security.microsoft.com?
Yes.
To go ahead and bring that over, because you know we just need portals on top of portals on top of portals.
Yeah. I did notice that when I got that new security center, that now you have the secure score and they've broken it out too, because now you also have a compliance score in your compliance portal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So on the main dashboard now, you'll see both security and compliance, and then dive into the kind of sub applications for each of those, right? Depending on that kind of path that you want to take across the two within the security center for all that old stuff that used to be in secure score.
Yeah. I'm not going on a rant again about how they still haven't completed the bringing all of those together.
It's gonna happen someday. And don't worry, all the APIs are still in public preview. So, right. You know, your mileage may vary.
And again, once they get there, I think it's a good idea. But I still have that whole beef with that. The new security portal is really more reporting, not so much actually managing security. And it's all like, what should the security portal be? Because really, Azure AD is where you're going to manage all your security. So you do manage it there and then report on it in the security center. It's, you know what? It keeps me busy.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing. And you know, being on the outside, you would have to hope there's kind of some coordination internally about it. And I would say you would have to hope, because sometimes there is no hope. You know, if you live in, like you said, Azure land, and maybe you rely on Azure AD and the telemetry that comes out of that, like when do you use your security portal for M365 at security.microsoft.com versus maybe standing up Sentinel, like we talked about like a month or two ago, and having all that information driven into log analytics, and then be actually have the ability to do proactive alerting and automation within your environments based on that. Today, if you look at the secure scores or security center story, it really does align to, well, we give you dashboards, and by the way, here's an API to interact with it. And to me, that's got there's a lot of work that's put on us as consumers of the platform there, versus maybe going over to something like Sentinel and saying, hey, just let me suck a bunch of data in, just do mass data ingestion, and then I've got this really awesome query engine that I can fire automation out of. And then I can be both proactive, reactive, kind of whatever lens you want to look at it with.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to go, but it's still just bizarre. So I was just playing with the security portal because I was seeing what's new and what's changed. And even stuff like they have the policies about how you can configure different policies, and that's where you can get some of your alerts from. And this is where you start seeing some of that cloud app security come into the policies, as in cloud app security, you can actually do reporting and alerting on things like stale shared content. So, you know, the whole thing, especially before they had those policies in place where your OneDrive links or your anonymous sharing links expired after 30 days. Mm-hmm. If you set up sharing links before that, there was no expiration policy on it. So in Cloud App Security, you can go set up all these policies that say, hey, give me an alert of any stale shared content that maybe has been out there and I have this link of this sharing link that's been set up for 2 years. So that's all Cloud App Security policies, all of that. So I was just playing around in my security portal, and you go to the security portal and in there you do have those policies. And
file policies are magic things, but they're like buried.
Well, but they're not really even file policies. They're like alert policies. And there's 365 alerts and Cloud App Security, which takes you over there. So it's all these different. So in policies, there are 1, 2, 3, I'm just going to count them, 5, 11 different links within policies that all take you someplace different. So there's Office 365 alert policies that actually takes you back to the old Security and Compliance Center. It just takes you to the protection.office.com, protection.microsoft.com, protection.office.com. It takes you there and you're like, okay, so what are these Office 365 alert policies? Because it just takes me to the homepage. You have your Cloud App Security that takes you to that Cloud App Security dashboard. And then you have device security, device configuration that links you off to literally 12 different portals or different locations that are not even in the Security and Compliance Center. So I know we linked to it before, that whole GitHub repo that has all of these different portals in there. It is like, we're getting a little bit of portal overload, I feel like, in terms of where do you even go for all of this stuff. And that's where I've spent a lot of time recently. And I did a presentation at a local user group here this past week, but I actually talked to somebody who is using Office 365. They love Office 365. They didn't even realize that they had DLP built into Office 365 and they could define their own policies. So more and more, I've spent my time just helping people understand what all is actually in Office 365 and where you have all these different portals, what you can configure in these different portals, how to get to different things, because there is getting to be so much in so many portals and so many different settings and so many different places that people just don't know. And it's a job to educate them, but it's also fun.
You just kind of click next until you find your way there. And I like how each one always opens a new tab. So you end up with, like you said, you have 11 links and all of a sudden you have 11 tabs and you don't know where you are anymore.
And then you start going in circles because you click on one and it actually takes you like back to where you were originally. It's fun times. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. As an Office 365 admin, Microsoft 365 admin, I feel like it's getting more and more important is just to take that time. And it comes back full circle to you really need somebody in your organization that understands Office 365, whose job is Office 365. What's available? What can we configure? What can we take advantage of? What's changing? What's rolling out? What's being depreciated? If you don't have somebody in your organization that is keeping an eye on all of that for you, it can quickly get out of control, or you could be missing out on some really cool features that you may have be able to take advantage of. Or in some cases, companies are even paying for third parties because they don't realize the, not because the functionality in Office 365 isn't good, but because they don't realize they already have the functionality and what they're paying for.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You kind of start to feel maybe forced down the path of going to an MSP just because you can't keep up with it. And it's not something you can go and like Google around for, like how to build a good Office 365 team, because you're just going to end up to a bunch of articles that say how to build a group, how to build a team, like the actual Office 365 things. Or I was like, how do I build like an operational team? Well, I would be willing to bet if you went to like Bing or Google, it might, like, even if it didn't say team or group, it'll tell you how to build like a staff hub, right? Because there's staff lists and things like that with them. So you will just end up in all sorts of strange places. And there's not a ton of guidance out there on it either.
Right.
Not for mere mortals anyway.
I could say, just come hire me. I'll come be your Office 365. Like, I've thought about that. I need to just start selling myself as an Office 365 MSP. I'm not going to do all the other stuff, the printers and the networking and the fixing broken keyboards and why monitors don't work and installing antivirus unless you're doing Microsoft 365 and ATP and all of that. But just hire me and I'll be your Office 365 MSP. I will fill you with Office 365 knowledge and goodness.
Just keep dropping knowledge bombs left and right.
Yes. No, all the things on my list of maybe I should do this. Or if I only had time for this is actually probably more. No, I think the spot for that, kind of like you said, though, just if you don't need somebody full time, yeah, go find somebody you trust to pay them a few hours a week and just be that Office 365 expert for you. Someone like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
I am selling myself massively on this podcast.
I'm done. You're okay. You're allowed your one off for the year.
The end. That's my sales pitch.
That's the.
Now we can go back to no longer marketing Ben. We can market Scott now. Hire Scott to come train you on Azure. He can be your Azure MSP.
No, I'm a trainer, not an MSP.
You don't want to be an MSP for Azure?
Totally different things. Not putting up on myself, I would not want to be. No, I think it's too wide of a platform, right? Like you're talking about, I think, much wider operational teams at that point to have someone who could be successful for you.
Yep.
If you're going to hire, I think you could be successful finding someone, like you said, who is very, very wide across maybe the Office 365 stack and being able to wrangle together those workloads. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're talking 10 to 20 and it's a lot, right? There's tons of stuff. But depending on what you do in Azure as a customer, you're potentially asking, it'd be very hard to have that single person because you're going to ask them to wrangle 100 to 500 different workloads. There's just too much. It's a very wide ocean to kayak across.
Right. No, I agree because you do. You end up like Office 365, essentially it's that collaboration suite, the productivity. When you get into Azure, you're like, you have IaaS and you have PaaS and you have all the BI stuff and the AI stuff and the ML stuff. And I'm just going to speak in two-letter abbreviations. BI, AI, ML, what else can I come up with? But yeah, Azure, it just, there are so many services there that for one person to know all of Azure, I agree. It's a much wider breadth of knowledge that you would have to have. And I, like you, would argue that it would be impossible for someone to know all of it.
Yes, indeedy. Re-needy. What else we got?
I don't know. We didn't really get to any of our links that we had in our notes.
No. There's like at least four in the show notes.
I know. Did you want to talk about any of them specifically?
No, I'm saying in the official show notes for the podcast that I put together
that
for you.
That you put together,
week.
Not the one that we were using as our reference that we haven't looked at since we started.
Yes. Those are the ones.
Got it. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about today?
I don't know. You know, to be honest, I'm kind of like technology'd out. I've been learning all about Azure DevOps for the last 2 days. And, you know, it's like being in the Matrix. You feel like Neo after a while. Like, I know something.
Azure DevOps being the VSTS replacement. The renamed...
That thing that was formerly VSTS, yes. So it is the new licensing suite that sits on top of what was formerly VSTS. And so boards, repos, pipelines, all that good kind of stuff.
Yes, that is good stuff. No, I was just looking through the links. I don't know. I feel like if I start going into any of one of those, people are going to wonder what we actually had in our notes.
The mystery for next time.
Yes, we can just save this. We'll just rename our document to episode 126 instead of 125. Yeah, I think I'm good. Unless there's something in that list that you really wanted to talk about or something that you saw this week.
Nope, I got nothing pressing in there.
All right. We'll save them for next week. So until next time, it'll be a mystery. You'll have to join us next week to find out what we were going to talk about this week until we just got off topic and talked about random technology.
Yeah, maybe we'll move beyond Beating the Beast and get to like Aladdin or something. Lion King next week.
Lion King?
Yep.
We could Disney theme. We can start Disney theming all of our podcasts. Wouldn't that throw everybody for a loop?
Until we get sued, but let's do it.
Yes. Not get sued. You mean rename our podcasts. I don't want to get sued. All right. Oh, we need to get back to our normal Friday morning. Feel like we're a little more focused.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. Maybe in another week or two.
All right. Perfect. Sounds good. We'll go enjoy nice sunny Seattle. I'm going to go finish power washing the driveway, possibly. And if nothing else, I'm going to go jump in the pool for a swim.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.